Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Wide. I'm Hardy Wide, and this is not the end of the last show. This is the beginning of this show. And this is the only part that you can be sure really is a beginning. It's not an end at all. Right? How could the end be at the beginning? And one more thing! You never said thank you! Wait, what's that? Oh, you're welcome.
Oh man, Butchie, very good.
Wait. A lot of people.
It takes a lot of people to do a show.
It does. Wait.
All right.
Wait.
Wait. A lot of production companies.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Wait.
Nyuk.
Here we go.
Who's there? Step out the light! Show yourself! Show your face!
What? I don't understand! How could that be? How did you survive?
Wait. That's not the end. That's a fake-out ending. There's more. Just be patient. Let's wait to the very end of the credits. That's what I say. Because sometimes you get what the French call a faux fin, or false ending. You don't know what's going to happen until you wait for the whole thing to play out, even the boring part, even the credits. So we'll just sit here and we'll watch people. For every individual up there on the credit, that is their livelihood. This is an interesting thing for them. They contributed to this project that we're watching. So we don't make fun of any of those jobs. They're all important. I mean, some of them require more skill than others.
And that is how Hardy ended the false ending show.
I honestly don't remember that. I sort of do.
How is it possible for this to shape the future if you don't remember it?
Maybe I checked out attention-wise before the whole thing had played out.
Remember, it was about false endings, how there might be something more to the story hidden after the credits, and how that's analogous to something, or homologous.
That means something different.
No, that means something the same.
I mean, listen, we need to come up with an ending.
Why?
Why indeed?
I love it!
I do too, boss.
It's the funniest thing I've seen since I'm Dickens, he's Fenster.
Should we green light it?
Green, red, yellow, blue. Turn on all the lights for it. I love it. This is just the beginning of this great journey.
Stay tuned for Secret Storm on this and other stations.
There's nothing more after that.
I don't think so.
Wait, what was that?
If fair, Robertson.
I didn't get that one at all. Are you ready to go or not? Do you have your coat? You said you wanted to go look for your friend. Come on. Butchie, what year is this?
Marty?
I don't know. Put it back in. It's not done yet. There's a secret scene at the end. Put it back. Fast forward until the end.
Hang on.
A little more. All right. Is this the end? I guess all our friends found their way back home. Mrs. Leday got her lawnmower back. And the Mumble Twins aren't fighting anymore. I guess that just about wraps things up. But hey, what's this on the ground? Another crystal? I thought they were all accounted for.
Hello. Yes, testing.
Testing.
Hello, testing. If you're listening to this, then you have discovered the secret message on the end of the tape. You have made it this far. Most people think they know when the end has come, and they stop there. Others look for things, even when they seem hopeless. Even when it seems like the story's over, some people keep listening to all the dead air at the end of the tape, because every once in a while, they're rewarded with a sort of postscript or a post-postscript or more. And now you've reached the end of the tape, and there's a maybe there's a preview of what's going to come next, or maybe it's just bloopers. So, oh, here's some mistakes you made during the creation of your story, or here's an idea for the next story. A story that maybe hasn't even been made yet. Just conceived. Yes, you've reached the end of the tape. And at one point, there'll come a real end. You know, just like when the sun explodes. It won't be a figurative end. It won't be an end of just one. It'll be an end of a lot. But not the universe. It will endure. Because it doesn't care if one small sun explodes, one tiny star. Oh, no, no, no. I guess if it became a trend, then the universe would be, I'm a little concerned. I'm losing a lot of stars.
Don't remember that.
I sort of do.
How is it possible?
Wait. This, oh, we didn't pour the coffee.
Oh, man.
Go get the coffee. All right, let's try it again.
I honestly don't remember that.
I sort of do.
How is it possible for this to shape the furniture? Furniture. Oh, man. I guess it could shape furniture.
All right, let's try it again.
I honestly don't remember that.
I sort of do.
How is it possible for this to shape the future if you don't remember it?
Maybe I...
Me. That's
all
you.
Me.
Study your script.
I honestly don't remember that.
Yeah, that was the blooper reel we decided to include.
But none of the mistakes are really funny. They're just poor attempts that we left out.
Yes, but doesn't this make it all seem more real? To include the hidden parts? To expose the magic? Sometimes, when a magician reveals how a trick is done, it's even more magical in a way.
How so?
Because you see the real magic behind the trick.
By real magic, you mean not magic, but reality.
Yes.
So non-magic is magic, and magic is not magic.
Yes.
Butchie, stop. I don't know if it adds anything. I mean, I see your point.
In reality, I was asked to put something at the very end by the woman whose name is last in the credits.
Oh, well, who's that?
I'll check.
Let's see.
And last, our thanks to the people of the United Kingdom and Wales and Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II.
That's second, not II.
Those are eyes. Ones have the top thing that little slopes down.
So the Queen asked you to include a blooper reel?
No, Wen, the effects editor.
Oh.
She was worried people would tune out and not see her name because she's proud of her work. Hence, the after-credit scenes.
I'm all for after-credit scenes if they negate everything that just happened previously and that the people who leave early don't see that and live their lives based on a lie.
So that's it. That's the story of how we came up with the ending of the show. Because everything has an ending, right?
Hey, Petey.
Hey, Lou.
How we coming?
I think pretty good. We have something to show Hardy for sure.
And here he is now. Petey, this is Hardy White. Hardy, this is PDQ Bachman Turner, but we call him Petey.
Hey,
hi,
Petey.
Nice to meet you.
So what do we have?
Well, a lot of thought has gone into these logos. They have to make a big statement in a short time.
Okay.
So I gave Petey some guidelines, and we just went from there.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, here we go.
Shame shy.
Well, what do you think? Well, what do you think?
Is it over?
Is this thing on?
Well, what do you think?
Oh, no! Oh, it's eating the tape! Oh, no, 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 no! Oh, my gosh! Oh, it's got a hold of it! Oh, let that go! Come on, it's swallowing it! It's like a dog eating a sock! Let go of that now! Ah, gotta physically grab it! Oh, this is awful! I'm never gonna see the end!
That was me! Back in the day when it was sometimes physically impossible to see the end of something because of the technology. Nowadays, it's possible to see not only the end of things, but to go beyond the end, to a place of never-ending endings, the land of and. Now, you may say, if you go past the end, it wasn't an end to begin with. And I say, well, you thought it was.
Sorry to interrupt Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White, but I need to read a quick message.
Shut up, everyone! It has come to my attention that someone has found a way to go beyond the end of the cosmic tape and see all sorts of previews and post-credit scenes and bloopers and logos they are not supposed to see. The end.
I do not remember the first time that I heard the expression false bottom, but I'm sure that I giggled. What a false bottom is, at least in the context of a magic trick, is the bottom of something has beneath it concealed another bottom. I'm still going to giggle. What I mean is, let's say a magician holds up a box and says, you look into this box, it's empty, isn't it? And you look into the box and you see the bottom of the box and you don't see anything. So you say, yes, the box is empty. But what if that is not the bottom of the box? It is a false bottom. And beneath it is concealed something, let's say, a suffocated dove. And the magician is going to then
turn the box toward himself, somehow get rid of the false bottom, and reveal, and the dove will fly away. He'll just throw it up into the air. That's a false bottom. You could do it with a hat, a top hat. So see, is it empty? Yes. You can even reach your hand in there and touch the bottom with your hand. Go on, feel that bottom. Go on. It's empty. Now, what if I told you that a false bottom is like an ending? A lot of people come to the end of something and they say, look at that. I guess that's the end. It looks empty. But what if there's something hidden behind the false ending? A lot of times on DVDs or tapes or something, I think I'm at the end of this ludicrous CD. But what is this? This is a hidden track. So that happens a lot. And we all know sometimes there's something a little extra beyond the ending, beyond the false bottom. That's what I say. So always be suspicious that maybe there's something on the other side when somebody shows you. I know, you say, stop. Okay, I don't know what's the other word for it then? The end of something, false end, false endings. Just because there's no track marker, that's the thing. Say, oh no, it's not numbered. This track isn't numbered, but it's completely different. A little space was left, and now something different will happen in there. A song or a jingle or something like that. Some little silly thing. We're rewarding careful viewers, curious ones, fans, people willing to go look for what they also call Easter eggs, which I don't understand that. Well, I kind of do, but everybody's looking for those. And then you're rewarded with what? Egg. Well, I think sometimes they're really not eggs. There's something in them. There's candy in them. And what's in those? Another ending? Or infinity. Boy, there is nothing more tedious than infinity. Is there not? Nothing more tedious. Is there nothing more boring than looking at like a fractal? Oh, look at this picture of this thing unfolding. Oh, my goodness. I need to imagine that things end. If they don't end, if they just go on and on, how are they special if they don't end? That was Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White and an episode called False Endings. And you are listening to Endings. My name is Pete, and I'm just about out of here. As is Endings, which is ending. This is the last episode of Endings for now, but it's ended before, and hopefully it'll end again in the future. Until then, I'm going to leave you with some endings. And the credits roll. Directed by Hardy White. Produced by Hardy White. Executive producer, Hardy White. Line producer, that means if someone forgets their line, I go get it for them. Hardy White. Catering, Hardy White. Sound, Hardy White did sound. Lighting, Hardy White. Art. There was no art. Hardy White did. There was no art. Electrician, Hardy White. Animation, Hardy White. The credits I'm not reading are all stunt credits. I just
assume by now that you realize that I probably did all of the stunts, both the coordinating and the execution of the stunts. So when that airboat jumps over that little bit of island, really just a sand dune, well, we get some air, but that's me piloting it. But the person with me is a mannequin. But the mannequin is modeled on Hardy White. Mannequin model, Hardy White. Makeup, Hardy White. Hair, Hardy White. No hair, Hardy White. Vocal coach, vocal and accent coach. From Accent Studios, from Hardy White Accent Studios. Hardy White Accent Studios and vocal production company and the shows and the record labels. Also, Cincinnati. Hardy White. Is that it? That's it. That's all I got. That's my ending. Oh, my friends, what is an ending? A lot of times when we think of an ending in a human sense, we think of someone's epitaph. What are they going to put on their gravestone if, God forbid, they should have a gravestone? Why do you say God forbid? I don't know. It just came out of my mouth. That'd be wonderful to have one. It's fine. I love cemeteries anyway. The only thing I object to is people probably should be allowed to picnic there. If they're respectful and if they're family. And that's something that we're no longer allowed to do. But that's, what's the point then? Because when I'm there, I'm often hungry. Looking at the dead, walking on the remains of the dead makes me hungry. And because it reminds me I'm alive. I go, oh, I better do something about this. Because I am not yet dead. My end has not come. Is that truly an end? Do you live on beyond your end? I don't know. But you wouldn't be able to see it, so how could it be a proper end? I don't believe in endings necessarily. Every time I see a movie nowadays, it never ends. There's always, oh, they leave you hanging. Well, what if I perish? I mean, I've come to see your film with the expectation that it'll be a story, and from what I, my experience of stories in the past, reading them mainly in books and all, but also seeing films and listening to radio dramas, my experience is that they have endings. And when I'm done, I say, yes, I read Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy. I know how it ends. Now, I'm not so naive to think that universe doesn't go on somehow and there are other tales to be told and that Smiley had other things that he did. But I have an ending. But now I go to see these films. I go, what? Yes, it's one of a quadzilliad that they're going to have. There's going to be tens of millions of these films in a series. And so I go, well, that doesn't do me any good. I know that these endings are an illusion, but I need a little bit of closure. Because infinity, the concept, leaves me feeling ill. You know, I go, ugh. And I went to a restaurant that had infinite choices on the menu. And it really turned my stomach. Oh, man, I wish they just had a fixed menu is the other end of the spectrum. Oh, my goodness. But there's some, I have so many things, it's infinite. I can't, just offer me a few things. I go, all right, I guess I'll have the polenta. I mean, that sort of thing. Because when you're left with an infinite amount of choices, oh my goodness, you know, that's just too much. Well, what if you make the wrong choice? Then is there a right or wrong choice? I like just the ease of choice. Is that when it's a difference between easy choice and hard choice for me, not right or wrong, right? Oh my goodness, I'm here to announce the end of what I'm now saying. Is it the end of the show? No, I don't think so. I mean, it will be at some point. When will the show ever end? Well, let's do a thought experiment. Have you ever done one of those? Oh, hello, friends. My name is Hardy White, and I would like you to gather around right now. We're going to do a thought experiment. Gather around right now like you're in a kitchen that has one of those islands. You're gathering around the island, and now you all have on your bib. You all have on a special science bib. It looks like an apron and everything, because we don't want to get any ideas or anything on your clothing. You also have goggles, and you have ear plugs or ear whatever. What we're going for is you're all going to have a ball gag, because we're going to go for a full sensory deprivation at some point. But right now, just don't put those on yet. But gather around, because we're going to do some thought experiments together. Oh, my friends, what kind of thought experiments? I want you to imagine this show ending. What if this were the last episode? Now, you say you have a time machine, Hardy. I know, so I'm cheating already. But let's say this is the last show. At some point, it has to end. Well, why would they ever take you off the air? I know, but, you know, human beings make mistakes. Or I could die. And I'm a human being. I could die anytime in traffic or anything. Or right now, I could choke on something. I could eat a candy cane from Christmas, and it just goes right down, so it's like a dagger in my throat, and there I'm gone. And first of all, if there's anything, if it happens and the mic is still on, please air it. But I'd want it to be my last thing, because, oh, the irony. And it wouldn't even be irony. What would it be? I don't even know. Just beautiful, perfect art. I mean, we all have to go sometime. But this is about endings. Imagine this show ending. Okay, right now, think about all those other shows there are. Now, what if you weren't listening to them in order at all? What if this is the first time you've ever heard this show, and I said to you, hello, this is the first time you've ever heard the show you're listening to, and I said, oh, it's ending. And you go, oh, man, it's ending. This is my first episode, but there's an archive. Now, you can go back and listen to years and years of shows. So it didn't end then. So the show that it ends on for you, who knows what show that'll be? The second to last one? The first one? What order are you going in? And then, if that stops, who's to say that somebody's not going to start it up again or something like that? Like there's been a couple of phantoms or whatever, or the shadow or something. People change over. The green, I don't know about some of them. The green llama, was there only one of him? There probably should have only been one. Notice nobody's racing to revive that comic book character. Nah, maybe not. No, I don't blame you. And, but what about Herbie Popnecker? Why does he have to end? Why is that? Oh, because he's heavy? That's all right. We're celebrating him. Said, look, he's heavy. Listen, the person who drew him was an alcoholic. Let's understand that. Oh, my friends, I don't want it to end ever. But things have to end, they tell me. But they never seem to, and I think once I do perish, I'm not going to really perceive that anything has happened because my perception will be gone, so I don't know if they ever do end. I think that's just a way of getting you off the phone. Well, everything's got to come to an end. Where are you going? Oh, well. I know that I've, some people, I've experienced other people's death. That's pretty endy, right? That's pretty endy. So that's an end. Yeah, I guess that is. Now, if you really wanted to get specific, you'd say, no, they didn't really end. There's just no real new information coming from their direction. But a lot about them sort of remains. And then we can debate whether they were ever there to begin with. That's how I get around it. So maybe things can't end if they're not there to begin with. So you can't, that's why I try to not make too many stories, because now you're forcing me into it. You're painting me into a corner, an interpretive corner. You say, interpret this. Oh, the minute I do, it'll turn into a story. I swear, and then we've got stuck with that story like a tulpa. It happens all the time. You have an experience, and people want you to can you turn it into a story? Why? Are you going to publish it in your magazine and pay me a lot of money? Otherwise, you're asking me to create something.
to create something that may live on, because stories live on like a sort of creature that lives only in information, live in the brains of the living, and it infects them all the time, and it doesn't matter. Once you're gone, it'll be in somebody else's head. That's the way stories work. That's why I have, Rumpelstiltskin. I didn't come up with that. Somebody put that thought in my head, and it's in the heads of millions. Isn't that something? So those things are alive. So stories are alive, and they're like creatures, and they're not all good. Like, they're like Tulpa. You know, they're really just creations, and they have life. And they can actually get into, stories can get into people. They're just like a being that needs a parasitic being. And the stories will get onto people, and then people will become characters in that story, and they'll act it out. You don't believe me? Go to the movies. You don't believe me? Go to a con. You don't believe me? Go anywhere. It happens all the time. It goes, just walk down the street and say, why is that person wearing that? And you realize, oh, okay, because it's this narrative. I understand. We call it a narrative, but it's a story. And they're wearing the costumes that the other characters are wearing. They're acting like those characters because the characters have got in them. And that's going on all the time. That's why I'm reluctant to contribute to that story making. But I do it anyway. Oh, no, I feel awful. Oh, I have control of my golem, they say, when they create these stories that live on, especially the destructive ones. Oh, I have control of that. Don't worry. People don't take that literally. It's just a story. Oh, they'll get in it and they'll want to be certain characters because you've misled them. You've given them hope in something. You're cutting things off. You're blocking things off. That's how you get a story. You black thing. You say there's ending. Say, that was it. You put in a false bottom. Say, there's nothing there. All right. That's it. That's the story. And you put in a false bottom. And we know there's a dove on the other side. You can't fool me. Oh, I want to reach out to you with this never-ending hand here. And it's, that's grotesque, isn't it? Yes, it just comes out of my wrist, and my hand shoots around the earth. I have to open a window, and I stick my hand out, and my wrist goes on and on like some fleshy, bony, fleshy cable that they're laying down. And once the network is laid out, and my infinite, weird, wormy arm is entwined around everything. And the hand is still there. Where's the hand? Have we located it? Seems like spaghetti or twine wrapped around the earth, right? But my hand's still at the end. Where is it? It's in yours, right there. We're holding hands. What are you talking about? I'm not exactly sure. But I'm just trying to get away from the end. The end is creeping up, and I'm running away from it all the time. Because if I stop, the end will be there. I know it. I know it. I realized that a long time ago, that it's like being a shark. They say a shark has to keep swimming, right, or it dies. And what does it do when it sleeps? That's why they always sleep in front of a fan, like an electric fan, because it'll blow air into their gills or what have you. That's what I understand. Or what they do is a shark will pull up to a very talkative other shark who's like maybe just eating some kind of seaweed that makes them all jazzed up. So they'll come up in front of that shark and that one will just start yappering, you know, oh, I did this, blah, blah, blah. I was hunting over here and I ate a whole tuna. And then the airflow from the shark that won't shut up keeps the other shark alive. And that's what I feel like maybe I can do to you. Maybe my yammering is something that you could swim in, like a current. It'll keep you, come on, keep you looking beyond that. Keep looking for that. It's just a false bottom. There's something beyond it. Get it? Go through the credits. Da-da-ding, gong, gong, go-dom. Go through that part. All those, what are they? What are they? Distributors? I don't even know. Is it the theater owner? Everybody has a little logo, a little audio video logo at the end of things, don't they? Why? Because they want you to know. Look at all the collective, I don't want to say collective, it's corporate. Look at all the corporate participation in the thing that you're watching. Isn't that nice? And we all have our little thing, our little battle hymn, or whatever we call it. We'd like to share it with you. We'd like to put this in your head and sort of, it's a kind of audio mini story for you. And it means, hey, remember this. And it works. And when you watch certain favorite shows, I bet you can hum the little end parts that have those little logos in them. And when things start, you go, oh, that thing I like is getting ready to start because I recognize the little logo. Oh, my goodness. You don't think of them as being really alive or anything, do you? Well, they're different kind of life. You know, life ranges from like a bacteria, it's alive, to an elephant. And all between there you have human beings and all that kind of things all in between. And so there's all different kinds of life. And there's all different kinds of ideas that are alive. And they have different sort of complexities to them. Very simple things that are alive and things that are more complex and crazy that are in lots of people. Oh, what's that noise you're making? Oh, I'm sorry. Maybe it's the end. Do you remember when Red Fox used to put his hand over his heart and he'd say, oh, I'm coming. He'd fake his own heart attack, fatal heart attack, as a way of emotionally manipulating his son. It's a parenting, I was going to say skill. It could be. He said, oh, I'm coming, Elizabeth, is his late wife. I'm coming to be with you, Elizabeth. That's what this angina is about. It's some kind of chest pain I'm having, probably a heart attack. And I'm dying. And he would cry out like that. And Lamont would say, you know, Pop, I don't know whether to believe you or not because so many times you've faked it that now I don't know. If I call 911, you know, you're a big comedian like this. Now, this has happened before. You say, is that why are you even mentioning this? I mention this because there was a comedian named Dick Shawn who died on stage of a heart attack, and people thought he was kidding because he's a big kidder. And even if you look in Mad World, I think he even, you know, does kind of a heart-clutching, you know, Mama, I'm coming, Mama. And so, you know, he didn't get immediate attention. I don't think it caused his death or anything, but, I mean, that's crazy. People thought he was kidding. It's sort of a cliche or something. You think, oh, didn't I see that happen in a movie? It really happened. Can you imagine that? Oh, is that the end? Or is that a fake ending? Is he really ending? Or is that a fake end? Is that a false bottom? Excuse me, sir. Yes. I was just looking at the rear of your jeans. It's like, are you wearing a false bottom? Yes, I am. Thank you for asking. Well, what brand are you wearing? Well, I made it myself out of floral foam and memory foam, out of Oasis and memory foam. Oh, that's great. And, all right. Yes, thank you for asking. Okay, I won't keep you any longer. You're right. If you want, are you interested in making your own prosthetic buttocks? No, I'm not really. Thank you. But you could conceal things in it. If you want to hide from, so I'm going to make a fake rear end. So I can keep things in it when I travel. I'm sure there's something like that for travel because they had purses like that, you know, money belts. And now I'm sure they have fake body parts that are really to conceal your traveler's checks because that's not how the world works anymore, is it? Is there kind of a money belt for your phone for cybersecurity? Is there a fake bottom for cybersecurity? I want to keep my, I'm going to be traveling, with some jewels, yes. And I need those jewels to be, so these are very expensive jewels. They've been in my family for generations. Oh, all right. Oh, yes, they're invaluable. Is that the word I'm looking for? Yes. And very large jewels. My family originally stole them, I guess, like almost thousands of years ago, but they've been ours since. And I always take them with me because I don't know whether I'm going to be asked to participate in any kind of formal dining experience. And I want to make sure that I have
the what is verifiably the largest ruby in the world with me in case I want to wear it. So I need a place to sort of, I don't know, I want to transport them, but I don't want to draw attention to myself. I've been wearing them around my neck in a transparent bag, but I'm thinking now that I need a false buttocks where I can also put that and a very expensive watch I have and anything else like that, stock certificates, other things that need to be kept away from basically brigands or whoever attacks travelers. And I'm sure it still goes on. That's why we do have traveler's checks, and they still have a queue in them, I think, because that's... They're just a solid, solid thing that's going to be around forever. They were invented by the Knights Templar. So they say, I'm traveling to the Holy Land, and I can't take money with me. So the Knights Templar would say, don't worry about it. We'll give you a token in the south of France. You turn in that token in Jerusalem, and it'll be good for a hot dog. And that was the thing that they got going there. They started that, the Knights Templar. Now I think they're a charity, and they give to you know, research for the blind. I'm not exactly sure. I can look that up for you. No, I'm not going to. I'm hopefully, I'm counting on the end coming before I really have to deliver on a lot of promises or things like that. I've always thought about that. But you a lot of times you outlive your plans, mostly. I had an elderly neighbor who is now, she's now finally passed away, but her body wouldn't die. And when she was 100, she was wondering, why am I still alive? I haven't planned for this. And I didn't think about it. I thought, oh, in my 80s or something. You know, this is patently ridiculous. And so you don't, oh my gosh, I thought there would be an end, and there isn't an end. It does kind of keep going. She finally ended, but did she? The end, question mark? I'm not saying you live on after you're dead. I'm not sure that you do. But I know this, the person who leaves, they're not sure they're gone. They can't be, because they're gone. What's the other side of the end look like? Only the living see the other side of the end, don't they? At least death-wise. What's the other side of the end? If the sun should explode and everything is destroyed in this part of the solar system, what's the other side of the end look like? And is it the end for everyone, or something magnificent be made in that maelstrom? Maybe something wonderful will be created, like some sort of frog made of time or something. I don't know. I don't know what happens. I'm not a physicist. I want to be a fraud, though. I've always wanted, from the time I was very, very young, I wanted to be a fraud. I thought I would love to, and I guess that's called an actor. Maybe, but I mean, I wanted to take it a little farther than that. I wanted stories to inhabit me. I wanted to give up myself and just play a part. I didn't want to have to be that thing necessarily, but I did want to let it take over my being. I will just be that. And when I was little, I could do that in my imagination because there wasn't much me there yet. So it was easy to just sort of supplant it with another. But as I grew older, there became more me.
It's because you're a hoarder of ideas and thoughts. I do that. I can't throw them out. And so now there's just more of me. And it becomes more difficult to move because I just have all this stuff. And if you have living things, woo! If you have a relative and they have some sort of farm or they have 500 of some kind of animal or even 10 of that animal or even 5, they're not going to come see you very much. You've got to go see them. Because they can't go, and they're tied to those things that they take care of. That's fine, but that's the way it works. Oh, what's this about the end? And about logos? What's tied all together for me? No. Why would I do that? That seems, I mean, I could maybe for temporary purposes. I mean, when this thing has gone on 50-some minutes, close to 59 minutes, 58 minutes or so, I'll say some legally required things, and I'll do a actual ending of the show, and then the next show will commence. So there will be a sort of ending, but you can go back and listen to it again.
You can take that bit at the end and make it the beginning. It's very strange and arbitrary. It needs to be there, but it doesn't really exist. What is something that needs to be there, but doesn't ever have any kind of existence? Well, the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is very interesting in that way. Aleph. You've all seen it. Not olive. Come on. Aleph. Like an olive bar. And that letter is often silent. It itself doesn't have any sound. It only has sound in relation to other letters. It's just this beginning thing. It itself doesn't have any substance. But its absence would be problematic. What are you talking about? I don't know, maybe endings. The absence of endings would be problematic. However, they themselves aren't really real.
Enroll credits. Butchie, could you bring me a coffee?
Butchie, bring me a coffee.
I'll get it.
Thanks, Lou. What's wrong?
My head. It itches.
It's dry skin.
It is. I know. It probably is dried skin.
Come on, man. Because
I'm wearing this hat, too. All right, hang on. It's about to end.
I never liked the end of things. Every time I ever wrote a story, and it was evaluated by somebody, like a teacher or a friend or anybody reading it, a human being or even animals just giving me a look, they would say, you got to work on the ending. I say, what do you mean? There's really no end to your story. And I go, what does that even mean? What do you mean there's an end to it? They all die. No, that's no good. All right, the sun blows up. No, that's no good. It has to be something that's led up to that. We want to see the consequences of all the choices that were made during the telling of your story. Yeah, but man, I was just making that up as I went along. I was just winging it. That's all improvised. How am I supposed to wrap it up? Why has it got to end up as something? If I'm making a piece of abstract art, at the end of it, if it doesn't look like a naked lady, I'm sorry. I guess my unconscious was having something else in mind. Oh, what is the end? What ending do you want? And I'm not sure I can provide it for you. I always like to leave things on one of them hanging kind of, you know, like a suspended, what do they call it? Like when you use it in music when you have a seventh chord or something and you, oh, something is about to happen. And then it doesn't. Oh, it just leaves you expecting. But something does happen next. It's just silence. That's all. It's not what you expected. There's always something going to happen next. No real endings, right? Always something next. Just about whatever angle you're looking at. Whether you see a false bottom or a real one. How do you know there's a real one? How many false bottoms can you have? What if you moved in to a house? And after living there a while, and maybe moving the carpet, you discovered that there was a secret door. And you opened up that secret door, and you found a basement that you didn't know existed in that house. There's a basement here, and that basement revealed secrets to you. Oh my gosh, at some point, there was something going on here. Maybe during the 20s, during Prohibition, they had stills down. This looks like maybe it was a casino or something like that. I don't even know, with the alcohol. And then, after a while, you find another secret door, and there's something beneath that. And beneath that is an old underground railroad where they would hide slaves on their way to freedom. And there's benches down there, and they're hundreds of years old. And then below that, there's another secret basement. And it goes down even more. Can you believe? Oh, and there's so many secret basements. One of the at now is Neanderthals living down there, and Denisovians, which was this race of people that were only teeth, teeth and little fingers. My gosh, You're just, there's, it seems to be no end. It just keeps going. It almost seems infinite. Bottomless. How many secret basements are there? At some point, wouldn't you come up on the other side of the earth? I don't think it works that way. Does it? I don't know. I think at some point, they, instead of just going into the center of the earth and coming up on the other side, I think they move into another dimension and use that space. Right? They get to the center of the earth and something crazy happens. And then they don't, instead of coming up on the other side, they go deeper, maybe in a quantum sort of thing. Maybe they go small deep instead of direction deep. I really don't know. I'll look into it. I read a lot, usually just signs, directions, things like that, and I feel forced to read. You know, it's like you have to. Why does it need a sign? I always say, "What do you need to? Why are you telling me that?" And they go, "Well, sir, people wouldn't know where our store was." And I guess that matters. But I do feel bombarded by things that need labels and signs and stories and everything like that. And it gets in the way. It's interference for my interpretation of them. It's like it's like noise pollution or light pollution. I can't see the thing well because there's others, these idea beings yelling at me in my brain, trying to get in there through my ears, try to live in there. They're trying to live in the nice, warm recesses of my memory. My memory's so good. And when I was naive and young, the things I took in, I'd put that TV set on, and these jingles and things would creep into my ears, and they'd get in there, and they'd live in there, and ah, ha, ha, ha. And I'd laugh because I didn't realize they were menacing or anything, and now they've lived in there forever, just in a parasitic way. They really haven't given me anything. All they've done is they're in there, and they're supposed to remind me. It's like you walk by somebody in a store, and they tattooed the logo of a product on your arm. They go, "There you go. You'll always remember this." I go, "What? I don't even use that." But there it is. And you'll always remember it. Maybe you'll just show somebody and say it out loud. Now you're sort of a walking litter bio ad. And that's what your memories are, too. So that's wonderful. Now you can promote all sorts of things. You're just a big promotional thing or a billboard. All these things jump into you. They're the real things that are alive. These people perish, right? The ideas seem to keep living. That's because they're alive. They are definitely alive. And that's why I'm telling you that things don't always end when you think they end. Oh, I don't want my time with you to end. We can look at it as being sort of infinite, you and I. Also, like to say I'm very behind on my email. I don't mean any disrespect. I'm just having a hard time keeping up with correspondence. People say, "Oh, you never did something." I go, "Well, yeah, I'm alive, so you can't say never. You never got back to me yet. So here we are. What is it?" That's how I've lived my whole life. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm trying. That's what's best of me to have. I am like, my whole life is like one of those Christmas letters. Here's what's going on with me. I don't know if anybody cares. And I'm not really saying that. I'm really, I'm just, I don't know what I'm doing. I guess I'm just trying to make connections with others, with other people, be there. Maybe help out a little in the way that I can, not in a really great way, you know, not in something that's going to be completely helpful, for instance. Do you ever see orangutan make like a rain hat out of a banana leaf? Well, that's me. I'm a banana leaf hat. There's better hats, right? There's great hats. But I'm a banana leaf hat. You know, in a pinch I'll do. And maybe it's better than nothing. And I want to be that for you. And that's what I want to do. I want to take myself, a person I don't know what my intelligence is, but I know compared to like fellow students and everything, is on the low side, a little on the low side, but that's okay. I didn't mind because I had confidence. Why did I have confidence? It came from my low intelligence. So it was a mixed blessing. And so, hey, you know, whatever. Y'all just seem normal. Y'all poop and pee and do stupid things, even the smartest of you, so I'm all right. I don't feel threatened. I love you. I hope you love me, too. I can be useful. You know, I'm not going to get us to the moon, but I will press lunch, not launch. All right, so I'm not that stupid. And even if I were, I think, you know, I could still do something, right? I could be of some use. Because, hey, I'm one of you. We're all in this together, aren't we? And I hope you would, you know, we've looked at our ancestors, and some species would drag around really old people, helpless people, keep dragging them after. And I'm all for that. So if you, I would be so thankful if after I'm very infirm that you would still drag me around and maybe pre-chew some fruit for me, like our ancestors did. And if I needed help getting up into a tree to get away from a wild boar, you would do something. Maybe make some kind of pulley system out of vines. It's so silly. Look at Hardy just dangling up, but up he goes, and they get Grandpa up into the tree just in time. I love it. I love it. Homo erectus family Robinson. I'm going to work on that. Oh, you know it, too. Oh, my friends! We're getting to the actual end. I feel like the real end is coming. The end is near. Or nigh. Louis Near. That's what it is. So I guess it's time they say wrap things up if the end is coming. Is that like get your affairs together? All right, get your affairs together. You know, you got to call all these people. I'm sorry. I just want to tell you I'm dying. I know that the reason that we know each other is because apparently I cheated on a partner with you. And we're supposed to get together, but I don't want to do that. But I did want to tell you that I'm about to go. So, bye-bye. Also, what else are you doing for really going? We all have to leave at some time, but I don't think that's an end. I'm not sure about endings. I don't like to say goodbye. I know that. Because often it's embarrassing. I've said goodbye at parties, and then you got to double back, and everybody's, then we all go, you go awkward. But it's worse than that. It's worse than that. So I said goodbye to you. You said you were leaving, and you didn't leave. And now you're back here. I don't know whether you forgot your jacket or what. But we said our goodbyes. And now once again, I'm looking at you, and I confessed emotion. Oh, I was so glad to see you. I even hugged you. And now you're back. You haven't been gone. You expect me to hug you again like you're the prodigal son or other kind of relative? No. No, I'm just kidding. I love you. So glad you came back. I'll give you a hug again. I'm not stingy with my love. Why would I do that? Why would I withhold my love? That's dumb. Never. Oh, I'll love you right up to the end. And what is that end? Well, I imagine that some kind of logo, some beautiful flourish, right? If I should end, I imagine my brain will have some big flourish like that, and I won't even notice. I'll just think the tape has ended, and then my life's going to go on, because I won't be able to get on the other side of that ending. And when you leave, though, I will be sad. Oh, one of us has got to go first, I guess. And that tragedy. Yes, the heart breaks. We are. It's sad to be alive. It's sad to love, isn't it? I'm not going to stop, though. I'm going to keep going, because I don't want my love to end either. I'm going to keep you loving even when you're not here anymore. I love those who are gone. I grab onto that memory than anything. Anything that reminds me of a little pebble or something. Grab onto it with my heart. Keep it going. Fight the ending. I always put off that end. Except at some point you got to say, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White on WFMU East Orange. WMFU Mount Hope 91.9. In New York City, New York, and Rockland County, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. But then you know it's the end. Then it's real, because that's like, well, he wouldn't want to mess with
mess with the law or anything like that. No, I would not. I would never do that.